141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Christmas Eve. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst says Rangers disagree with but respect the decision to bring forward the winter break. Ange Postecoglou says he doesn't look at the league table when judging the progress of his side. And Tony Watts signing a pre-contract with Dundee United and leaving Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
The fans say what we hope will be a temporary farewell to the Premiership this weekend, but the excitement is still stacking up. Celtic need to get over that awful result in Paisley on Wednesday night when they go to Perth on Sunday. One more false move in the title race and they could be done for, whether Ange Postecoglou looks at the table or not. Unless, of course, Jim Goodwin's emergency 11 have another big target in mind at Ibrox. They certainly won't be intimidated by the big crowd, Gordon.
Jim Duffy, it's been quite the week in Scottish football, off the pitch, on the pitch and everywhere else in between. It's never a dull day.
Yeah, the last time I was on, Gordon, I was employed. Now I'm unemployed, so that's one thing that happens in football very quickly. But, you know, as far as the top level football is concerned, yeah, I mean, there's the debate of whether they have shut down a bit earlier or not. I personally think we should have. You know, I think it's better at this moment in time, and let's reassess things in a few weeks' time. But from Celtic's point of view, a poor result against St Mirren. St Mirren, Jim Goodwin saying he thinks he might have a couple of players back. But nevertheless, a tremendous performance from you know, his side, who were decimated by illness and injury.
Look at this guy. He's been here, he's seen it and done it, and he's making jokes about losing his job the week before Christmas, Hugh Keevans.
See, an old campaigner. He knows he'll be back somewhere, sometime soon. The Duff will return.
01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch with the guys tonight, so please let's do it. Nice way to celebrate Christmas Eve, speaking to you lot about everything that's going on in Scottish football. Pick up the phone and let us know. I mean, every night this week we've kicked the backside out of this winter break and bringing it forward. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had his say, so if we're not done yet on it, then feel free, the number is there. Ange Postecoglou talking about where Celtic are at. Tony Watt signing a pre-contract with Dundee United. Thinking of one or two Motherwell fans that might not be best pleased with that news, so if you want to get it off your chest, do pick up the phone and let us know. I suppose on Christmas Eve you could just call in and tell us what should be on your team's Christmas list. That might be a nice way to get us thinking about the January window, since we're not going to be looking forward to as many games imminently as we otherwise would have. What is on your team's Christmas list? What do you need? What does your team need brought down the chimney tomorrow morning to help with the second half of the season? Here's a bit of a question for you to kick us off. 01419511025. So whether it was right or wrong or somewhere in between, Hugh, and we've been there and we'll probably get to it. What we do know is we don't have as many festive fixtures to look forward to, but we do have this weekend, and that is important.
Yeah, and there are important fixtures. I mean, to go back over the Paisley result for Celtic, it was wasteful in the extreme. It was careless in the extreme. I do credit Dennis Lynas in the St Mirren goal.
Dean.
I credit him with having had a great night, starting off with the save from Mikey Johnson, which seemed to set the tone for the whole evening. So well done to St Mirren. Under extraordinary circumstances, they got a point. Very costly drop of 2 points for Celtic. When they go to Perth, they have no margin for error at all now. You know, Ange Postecoglou says he doesn't look at the league table. Well, I just don't believe managers when they say that. They must look at the league table. They must know he's 6 points behind Rangers. Rangers have the St Mirren phenomenon coming to their doorstep on Sunday, and they will be mindful of what happened against Celtic, and they won't want to repeat that mistake. And then, as you say, Tony Watt's gone off to Dundee United or signed a pre-contract with them. So you'll get a bit of stick. Is it the Motherwell boys? Do I have the right terminology there?
Well boys, you're close.
Well boys. The Well boys might have it in for Tony Watt, unless, of course, in the transfer window in January, Dundee United cough up and get him to go to Tannadice right now.
Yeah, come on then, let's hear from you on this Christmas Eve show. 01419511025. Lots of talking points, lots of topics out there. regarding today's news or this week's news. So whatever your thoughts are, let's hear it. 01419511025. And for a bit of fun, if you're bored of moaning and arguing and disagreeing over the winter break, then you could always just tell us what should be on your team's Christmas list. What do you need? Pick up the phone and let us know. Giovanni Van Bronker says they, as a club, were clear in their arguments about not wanting to move the winter break. However, he says they need to respect the decision that's been made.
Well, it's been, as you said, it's been busy. I mean, it's obviously we heard the news that Boxing Day was only 500 people. Of course, the decision to move the winter break, after Boxing Day. I think we were clear as a club that we had our arguments, our standing point in playing on. Of course, the last two games before the break, but the decision is made by the board and by the league. So we respect the decisions and we move forward. So we're concentrating on the game on Sunday against St. Mirren. After that, we will have time with our families and to rest. And then we start again in January to prepare ourselves for the second half of the season.
Now, there's been a lot brought into that discussion, some of it about players that may or may not be available when rearranged fixtures come around. But the manager of Rangers says he's relaxed about the prospect of losing players to international call-ups after the restart. He says it happens and there's no point in being frustrated about it.
No, not at all. It's just the way football is. It's, I mean, of course, you have always like games and international games. So it's obviously it's already be there like as normal. Of course, you want to have all your players available, but you also know that sometimes the international calendar is not synchronized with the league. So it's just the way it is, and we have to take it as it comes, and to play the games, with 11 players and seven players on the bench. But it's just the way it is. So frustration for me is not the good word. It's just handling the situation as it comes.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is far too calm and measured for this part of cloud cuckoo land here. But of course, he's absolutely right. For example, Celtic are bringing in three Japanese players in the transfer window. The work permits, as I understand it, are done. So there'll be four Japanese players under Ange Postecoglou from January onwards. What if they all go away to play for Japan? This is modern day football. If you sign players who qualify to play in the Africa Cup of Nations, or who play for Australia on the other side of the world, or who play for Japan in Asia, that's the way it is, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I think, was a breath of fresh air there. The way he dealt with it, as Hugh said, very calm, very measured, understanding that with a top club, you're going to sign international players from all over the world. And as he said there, that doesn't all coincide with the Scottish football calendar. So you've got to be able to deal with it. You will lose players. That's the reason why you've got a big squad, a strong squad, an academy. Shows that you've got top young players pushing their way through. You've got players that can fill the gaps when your other key players are missing. And as I said, I think it's a good understanding of where we are. And it's not just the old firm that can be affected.
Is it not?
Well, in Scotland perhaps, but I'm just talking about in general, in football in general. There are. If you look at Liverpool, for instance, their top players will be missing maybe the African Cup of Nations and things like that. So, listen, it happens to teams, and I think you've just got to deal with it. I think the argument here, Gordon, is the fact is that, obviously the games have been pushed back that couple of weeks. So, for instance, the Old Firm game would have been played next week, but now it won't be played to the beginning of February. So that's, I think, is always going to be the debate here.
01419511025. Andy's a Rangers fan, first of all. You got a Christmas wish list for your team, Andy?
Christmas wish list is Giovanni. I mean, Jim hit it in the nail there. He is so calm. He's no an overreaction. I mean, a lot of managers would have said about some of the players going away and things like that, about that shouldn't have been the case or whatever, and it should have, the game should have been played. No, but he's so calm for this area of the world and that, The wish list is maybe a couple of defenders. I know we've got Katic, I think it is. It's been loan and things like that, so maybe bring him back. But that's my wish list. But what I'm
Let's deal with that first, Andy, and you can more than welcome to come back in. Hugh, I get the feeling on the phones that Rangers fans feel like Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was the early Christmas present. Uh-huh. Now, the rest of the season will tell us whether that was the case or not, but that's certainly the way they feel about him at this moment.
I know it was a tight squeak against Dundee United last weekend. However, I think it's feasible that Rangers will go from now until the end of the season and not lose a game. Not win every game, but will not lose a league game, I think. So, you know, Andy's entitled to have his preference, and it is for defenders, but I'm not sure that Rangers are that far short of having a squad that they can take care of the rest of the season without additions. There'll be no subtractions because they seem to be digging their heels in. No one will leave, even Joe Aribo, who's attracting all manner of interest. But I'm not sure Rangers actually need anybody.
Rangers fans everywhere devastated to hear that, because your predictions are fairly ropey to be kind. Andy's talking about, you know, maybe signing a centre back. I think Hollander is back training himself, Jim. He will rejoin the team training shortly after the break, was the announcement from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst today. There is an option to recall Katic in January. Whether that happens or not, what do you make of Andy's Christmas list?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot of speculation over Conor Goldson, but I think that since Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has come in and he's tweaked the shape a little bit, Rangers have hardly lost a goal. I mean, their defensive record has been very good under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. So I think from that point of view, Calvin Bassey's come in and did a very good job there. I mean, he's not a natural maybe left centre back, but he's certainly more than able deputy at this moment in time. Hollander, I think, will be back probably with another 3 or 4 weeks, so the winter break might help him, the early winter break. But I mean, a club at Rangers again might be one other, maybe other centre back, if they could bring someone in just to give them that little bit of cover, because obviously after January you don't have the option then after, if you do get an injury or any issues. So yeah, I think that might be one area, but other than that, I mean, as I said, I wouldn't be quite as bold as you and say they wouldn't lose a game, but
not many would. That's
well, obviously, I was at the game on Sunday, and I think just as Hibs scored, we mentioned that, I heard him say, well, I think that'll be the only goal. Oh, wait a minute, it's another goal here. So I don't think the sentence had finished yet by the time Celtic had scored. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's a situation where Rangers have got a strong squad. Morelis is back, you know, scoring goals. They've got plenty of options. Ryan Kent looks like he's back to close to his top form. Aribo's been sensational. So yeah, there's been a lot of positives since Giovanni came into the team. Into take charge. And I think Andy's obviously just looking at the bigger picture and just getting that little bit of extra cover.
Andy, I know you had a second point you were keen to make, so take it away.
My second point is, if there was ever a team that was not a one-man team, but like a two-man team, you've got Jota. I know I'm talking about Celtic here. I'm a Rangers supporter, but I'm talking about Celtic here, right? Kyogo was patched up and put into the final, and he won the final for Celtic last weekend. But if the long-term injuries, and I know there's players going to be coming for Japan, you know, and things like that, but they're not going to, it's no guarantee that they're going to hit the ground the same as Kyogo, right? But after the weekend there, with Kyogo out, Hart out, Jota out, and St Mirren being a patched up team and having to bring youth players in for, well, we call them for like youth teams and things like that, and end up getting a draw. After the weekend there, I'm convinced right now the league is over. I think Rangers will go on to strength to strength. And what you said there, I agree with him 100%. I don't think Rangers will win every game between now and the end of the season, but I don't think they'll lose another game. So
the league's over already, 6 points before we've even reached Christmas Day, and it's over.
That's what I'm trying to say. Celtic, I think, will lose points between now and the end of the season and lose games. I don't think Rangers will lose any games before the end of the season.
When you talk of Christmas list, Gordon, Celtic need to address a situation whereby if Kyogo drops out of the team, you're uncertain whether Celtic will be able to win the match. Where is Giakoumakis? Where is he? Here we are about to enter 2022, and someone signed 4 or 5 months ago, best remembered for missing a penalty that cost Celtic 2 points, and apparently cursed by injury. So Celtic need to address that situation. Kyogo did come into the cup final and was the game changer that everyone thought he would be. But you can't have a situation whereby he drops out and your chances of winning deteriorate dramatically. So Celtic have to get in somebody who can lend Kyogo a hand. And of course, they have to tie down Jota, because it still hasn't been done. The money is there in black and white. Celtic need to pay £6.5 million to secure him on a permanent deal. January will surely see that deal done.
And he's confident. I mean, he's actually gone. He's disappeared, Jim, but says the league's over.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you've no problem with fans being very optimistic, liking what you see in his team. I don't think a lot of people have said that when Steven Gerrard left a few weeks ago, but it just shows you the impact they've had under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and the fans are bought into that. You know, there's belief back again. If there was any starting to slip a little bit, Celtic drawing that game on it against St Mirren, I think has highlighted a little bit of the fact that they still play, still create, but they just don't have that natural striker to get in the end of the chances. So, you know, like you said, I mean, whether the new guys coming in can fill that void or not, it remains to be seen. Whether Giannoumakis gets himself back fit again, you always feel a bit sorry for a new player that comes to a country and wants to try and make an impact. And I think when he came, he wasn't 100% fit. And since then, as you said, he's been blighted by one injury after another. So you really feel for the boy, because he's obviously desperate to do well. And I think it'd be unfair to make any judgment on him just now, because he's never had any sustained period where he could try to show his quality. So we don't know where he's at. But certainly from Rangers' point of view, very consistent, and you know, have been for the last 2 years in the league, really. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing that Celtic are still just trying to play, because Ange Postecoglou has said that he's not looking at the points differential at this moment in time. But there will come a time, you know, if it starts to get to 7 or 8 points, then I think you then start to really have to look at that situation and try and close the gap. But at this moment, 6 is not insurmountable.
We are on Twitter as well, taking your questions as always. Scotty says, a clear line of questioning to Hugh and Clyde SSB. Why have only one league in Scotland stopped playing the fixtures? And second point, if the answer is about having fans in, would it therefore be correct to say if there is still only 500 in when football returns, the call was wrong?
I think we have to take the chance on the science, as they call it, leaving the Scottish government in a position where they can say, right, you can have some more fans in than 500. I think 500 is an arbitrary figure plucked out of the air. I agree with Graeme Alexander, the Motherwell manager. Tell me what the science had to do with 500 people inside a 60,000 stadium at Celtic Park, or 50,000 stadium at Ibrox. We have to take the chance, the hope that in a few weeks' time, we are enabled to open the doors again. We have to take the chance.
You can kind of see the answer to that question unfolding, Jim. We're in a couple of weeks. If we can't get them back in, Scotty and people who are against the idea will say, see, we told you, it was the wrong decision. And then everyone on the other side who was for it will say, yeah, but all we said we wanted to do was try. We never said it was guaranteed to happen. We just said we wanted to try. So everyone, I think a lot of people are pretty entrenched on this already, and I'm not sure either side will change its mind.
I mean, listen, it's you've said there. You know, there's a risk element. Of course, there's a risk element. You know, the government have said that they'll review things in 3 weeks. So, you know, we're giving it to 3 weeks. It's not. I don't suppose you're overly optimistic to say that after 3 weeks they'll just turn around and say, okay, the gates are open again. Let's have full houses again. We think that would be unlikely. But I think we do want, we're major games, or, you know, we're top league with fans. You know, it's a different game. It's a different spectacle. You know, you do get that atmosphere. It's, you know, in the lower leagues, listen, there's a few clubs, particularly in the Championship, that are healthier than that. But there's a lot of clubs in the lower leagues, you know, the first and second division, that the 500, you know, won't be a huge drop in, you know, their maximum, if anything.
And so certainly season ticket holders. Yeah. I think we had the chief exec of Falkirk on the other night, and he said, you know, most of the clubs at that level, it means they can still get their season ticket holders in. And, you know, they didn't have a winter break planned.
Yeah, no, there was no point in a break planned anyway for the lower division. So that doesn't impact that. But, you know, the top level, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's worth the risk. Let's give it a go. And, I mean, listen, the difference between no fans and perhaps even half full house, or 20,000 or 10,000, I still think it's worth the risk in a few weeks' time. And as I said, the information that's come out today is positive in terms of the possibility of fans coming back in a few weeks.
fans have a self-serving perspective on this, and they think that they're somehow being done. But this is about the game as a whole. And the smartest comment I heard on Super Scoreboard this week came from the Motherwell.
Wasn't me, was it?
No, I didn't think so. But you come from Motherwell, but you're the wrong guy from Motherwell. It was the Motherwell chief executive, Alan Burrows, who said that closing doors should be the last resort, not the first option.
I love the reply to that tweet as well from RangersVan55, who says, "That's too much of a sensible question. They will never answer it." It reminds me of when I was young, I used to try and like get my sister to go and run after me and say, I bet you can't do that in under 10 seconds, in the hope that the reverse psychology would work. So
that man there with no name to offer is just his nom de plume, is one of the self-serving.
01419511025. Get your call in. I bet you can't get your call in the space of this ad break.
You. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We're reacting to the week's news, the day's news, anything that's going about. You can get your thoughts in. And for a bit of fun, give us your team's Christmas wish list. It might be a bit late. I don't know if the big man in the red suit can deliver it in time, but what would your team's Christmas wish list look like? What would you like to address in the coming days and weeks? Pick up the phone and let us know on the usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Ian, who's a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Ian?
How you doing, Gordon?
Good, thanks. Good.
Jim and Sue, Merry Christmas to all your families when it comes.
Thank you, Ian. Same to you.
Well, I'm just going to do a wee quick shout-out for a couple of people. First, Gordon, to the Willie Angus VC Celtic Supporters Group, to the committee and the members, Merry Christmas it comes, and to Bobby Burke and Kevin McCavanagh, all the best to your families, guys. Anyway, my wish list. It's a boy he plays in the middle of the park for Aberdeen, and he's in the same mould as our man, who I used to play with in the youth team at Rangers many, many years ago, young Lewis Ferguson. I've been talking about him quite a bit. I think he would be a great addition to that midfield for Celtic, guys. What do you think? And can I come back?
It's definitely the type of move that would heat up these phone lines, Hugh Keevans.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Lewis Ferguson would like to get away from Pittodrie. He's made that clear. He at one stage asked for a transfer. When a big move fell down, whether Aberdeen would want to sell to a rival, and I include Rangers along with Celtic, is another matter. They have their own supporters to look after, and if he were to go to Celtic or Rangers, it wouldn't go down well with the Aberdeen fans. However, it's a free market. If you want the player, if you have the money to buy the player, then you're at liberty to make the offer. He's a good player, but I think the player sees his future down south.
Jim Duffy?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good young player. I think you know, people can look at where they think their loyalties might lie or not. I really don't think that would come into it. If a club like Celtic came knocking on the door, I think he'd be a very brave young man if he decided to say no because of allegiances, and I don't think that would be the case. I think he'd be more than happy to go there, but obviously I don't know Lewis. No, Derek, obviously his dad, but you know, I think that he's definitely got talent, he's got real potential, and I think in the current market, if it was a couple of million or somewhere around about that, might need me as much as that, then I think that's good value. Yeah, good, it's good, be a good piece of business. So yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't rule that one out, and as you said, Celtic do have the money, they are looking to strengthen in certain areas, and I think it'd be a decent addition into the squad.
Ian, you've done the unlikely. You've agreed with Hugh and Jim, and everyone's nodding along in agreement that it would be, you know, the right type of signing or along those lines. So, you've job done.
Yeah, I think it's a young Brown in the making. No, I mean the boy's a player. He's a box to box as well, but he can pick a pass. He's got an eye for a pass. As I say, he's at the top of the show. When I come on, I played in the same youth team as his dad. And Ian Durant, and that was 37 years ago. I was only 17, and it was a dream team that I played with. I mean, and it, as I say, it's watching the way he plays was same as what his dad was a worldie. That was my opinion. Mm. Jim, you would probably agree with me, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I mean, Derek was a fantastic player, you know, and again, you know, didn't maybe focus as any by his own admission when Souness and that came in to start with, and then eventually, you know, got himself just, you know, back to the level that he could play, but an outstanding player. I don't think Lewis is the same type of player. I think he's a different type of midfielder, but I do think he's got a little bit of a streak in him which he's still got to curb at times. I think he can be a bit rash. He lunges in a few times, he gets caught up in the game. Yeah, you mentioned a young Scott Brown again. You know, maybe when Scott was just coming through at Hibs, he had a similar sort of temperament, and it took him a couple of seasons just to calm down a little bit. Not fully, you're never going to do that to even now, but I think he's got that in him. He's got that wee edge to him that, you know, it's good to have in your team, but you've got to be careful, particularly nowadays, modern football. And if Scottish football eventually gets to the VAR situation, you've then got to be even more careful when you're tackling. But no, I think he's got the potential to be a top class player. And I think, as I said, value for money. I'm surprised that there's no big clubs in England had taken a punt on him for what you could get him for. It would be an absolute snip in comparison to some of the players that are travelling, are moving down south.
A previous Rangers fan was on, Ian, says the league's over.
No chance. Wouldn't give me some of what he's on. Because he must be on the whiskey early doors.
Steady, come on, you don't make those accusations. That might be his honestly held opinion. You can tell us why you disagree with it if you want.
Yeah, listen, Gordon, Celtic's just won the League Cup, and Kyogo won the Cup final. But the bottom line is, it was a collective. The whole team played a part in it, and as I said, we still had to score more goals than Hibs, and we did. And keep my heart off to Ange, he's done it in less than 6 months. Stephen Gerrard stopped 10 in a row, but it took him over 3 years to win a major trophy.
Ian, you've answered the question about the league by telling us about the League Cup final, and in terms
to be
of,
fair, is he not just saying that it shows that Celtic have got something about them? Is that you can link the two, can you not?
I don't think it's going out on a limb to make Rangers favourites to win the title when there's half a season to be played and they've got 6 points
of
a start.
Of course it's not, but there's a big difference between making Rangers favourites, I think most people would agree, and saying it's over before Christmas. No, there's a massive gap between those two things.
And remember, I did not say it was a caller who said it was over.
I know that, but
what I have said is, again, I don't think it's going out on a limb. A team who lost one game in the first half of this league season, I don't think it's going
to say
out.
That they might lose none in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Not win them all, but might not lose any.
Interesting. Thank you, Ian. Let's hear from Ange Postecoglou, who says he's not looking at the league table when judging the progress of his side. He says they've a chance of having success if they continue the way they are going.
You know, I understand that's people's reference point. They look at the table, and that's always going to be the ultimate measure. But I can't control that. We can't control what the teams above us or below us do. You know, we can control what we do, and we've been really good at that. Just focusing on our games and making sure we perform at a level which gets us the results we want, and that's what we need to keep doing. I think if we continue the form we've shown, as I said, over the last 2.5 months, then we'll give ourselves a chance of having success in the league.
Very interesting when the signings come in. As I say, Celtic are obviously thin on the ground when the moment Kyogo cannot play, something happens. And it's happened on more than one occasion this season. He has been sensational, a revelation. But when he drops out, there's a problem. Therefore, you have to strengthen the squad in a way that Kyogo dropping out is not a problem. So that's got to be the priority for Ange Postecoglou come the transfer window. And also, Celtic periodically throughout this season have thrown away points against teams from the bottom six. And the throwing away of those points is coming back to bite them right now.
This is where you know far more than Hugh Keevans and I, Jim Duffy. Is that the way it has to be? Because, it's, of course, we are well entitled to be obsessed with the league table. But if you're a manager, of any team, so he doesn't have to be about Celtic. If you're a manager of any team and you're trying to build something and you're trying to assess, is this team performing the way I want them to? You can't get too hung up on points totals, I guess, because although it's important, say for instance in the 94th minute the other night, the ball goes in off near Beaton's backside, Celtic win the game, and all of a sudden, you know, they've cut the gap. That won't make Ange Postecoglou feel that much different about actually the way his team are performing and what he's trying to get across.
You said that, Gordon, it happened a few days before, didn't it, with Anthony Ralston up at Ross County, you know, in 97th minute, you know, and you know, the players celebrating. But again, the manager has to keep a degree of perspective on it, understand that. But you've seen the reaction from the players and the supporters when they scored the 97th minute winner. So the players know that, you know, they can't allow the gap to become too much. But the manager is looking at overall progress. He has had to come in and completely, change the mentality in the football club and the style and the structure and everything about it, the recruitment, so much to do in such a short period of time. His first job was to get Silverbear on board. He's managed to achieve that. I think, obviously the style of football and the manner which the fans have taken to him has been, you know, terrific for Ange Postecoglou. I really like the two managers we have at this moment in time in the top level. We're two biggest clubs. I think they come across very well in the media. I think they're great for the game. But yeah, I think that Ange Postecoglou will be looking at the development of a football club, not just a football team. He knows he's responsible for that, but he's looking to take a whole football club in a direction, and that might just take a little bit longer this season. I think he will get grace this season, you know, in terms of the league, how it finishes. But then next season, when he's got his own players in, and he said that time to develop them and get that understanding, then I think he'll be, you know, it'll be, I think the end of points will become much more significant.
I did ask for Christmas wish lists, and Barry Robson, CSC, says a set of 22 replacement hamstrings for us, please. I don't know if that can be ordered. We'll look into it. Thank you to Ian. Let's see what Kevin, the Celtic fan, has on his wish list. Kevin.
Lewis Ferguson, please.
Wow, two in a row.
Yeah.
Agreeing with Ian then? Tell us why.
Because he'd compliment Callum. And seeing that as well, but Tom Rogic and Neil Batten is Phoenix. He can play wherever he wants, but he's especially in midfield. When he's playing in midfield, he can play his game. He's absolutely brilliant. I swear.
Two shouts for Lewis Ferguson to Celtic. Just not what I expected. Not to say I disagree. Far from it. Just not to say. Not something I expected. And some praise for Nir Beaton.
Well, Nir Beaton has won, I think last Sunday was his 18th trophy win as a Celtic player. Been here 9 years. Has clearly contributed a great deal to the club. And then there's James McCarthy. You know, his name hasn't come up yet. There are other midfield alternatives there for Ange Postecoglou, and a midfield player coming in from Japan as well. As you said, Gordon, nothing against Lewis Ferguson, fine player. I think if Celtic had been interested in him, or Rangers for that matter, we'd have heard about it by now. And I also have to break it to the Celtic and Rangers supporters. There are players who don't actually see going to Celtic and Rangers as the be-all and end-all. They see their career in a bigger picture in a country not too far from here.
I'm sure I read near Beaton it was 14 trophies. You're probably right. Maybe we could split the difference. I don't know. Someone will correct either one of us. Kevin, maybe your Christmas wish list might be that Kyogo and Rogic are not away on international duty in January, February the 2nd.
Well, that's not my decision. That's obviously, I think they've got to be. I think Angie's actually said if they need to go, they need to go.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, that's the thing. In some ways, well, it's encouraging that the managers are a lot calmer about all this stuff than fans are, because all week that's what it's been about on the show. Ange Postecoglou the other night asked, Kyogo and Tom Rogic might be away for that game. Yeah, they might be, he said. Okay, and you know, we won't cry about it, or we won't play the violin about it. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst asked, you might have African Cup of Nations players away, and he said, yeah, that's okay, you know, that's fine. These things happen.
Supporters are missing the point here. If you sign players, whether they're from Asia, or from Africa, and they are international players, then that's what goes with the game now.
To be fair, I think most people get that. It's relevant because if the game had gone ahead on the scheduled date, they all would have been available. That's why it's more of a talking point.
You know, we obsess over this Old Firm game, and I know you're not supposed to call it the Old Firm game, but it is. They both pay money.
Depending on what side of that debate you're on. You're not going to open that can of worms, are you, on Christmas Eve?
We obsess about it. If they're not there, if all five, if the Nigerian contingent from Rangers and Kyogo and Rogic from Celtic are all missing, so what? Just go and play the game.
Jim Duffy.
Yeah, no, again, it's hypothetical questions for a start, because we don't know, obviously, you know, again, if these situations will occur. But, you know, that's the reason why these teams are generally the ones that dominate Scottish football, because they've got the biggest squad, they've got by far the biggest budget, they've got the best academy, they spend more in their academies than most teams spend on their whole football structure. So, you know, listen, I don't have any sympathy for Rangers or Celtic when it comes to losing top players, because they've got more than enough to go and compete, and that's the nature of it. That's the reason why, you know, the managers then have to go on the pitch and have to coach and have to make sure that there's an understanding, not just in a starting 11, but a whole squad of players. And I think that's been shown with the two managers. That's the reason why I think both of them are pretty calm about the situation, because they've got complete faith in their own philosophy as managers and their own quality as managers to get whatever players they have at their disposal playing at a high level.
I've now got Sean tweeting me, who's a Rangers fan that wants to sign Lewis Ferguson. With no disrespect meant to Lewis Ferguson whatsoever, I don't know how we this theme has developed so quickly. But there we go. 01419511025. This is the perfect time to call, because you could be up next.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy, 01419511025 on the phones or at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's bring in Johnny in Motherwell and see what's on his mind. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad at all. What have you got for us tonight?
Basically, I was already at work when I heard the news about Tony Watt signing this contract with Dundee United. And to be honest, you'll know yourself, Gordon. Do you not feel like this is a slap in the face?
It's not. I usually keep my personal feelings out of these things.
Yeah, well, go on.
What I would say is that Johnny probably speaks on behalf of a lot of Motherwell fans. Is that diplomatic enough? Yeah. For anyone who is just catching up on the story. So everyone knew Tony Watt's contract was up at the end of the season. There had been a bit of speculation, but the big news tonight is that he's going to Dundee United. He's going to sign a pre-contract with Dundee United. He will either, I guess, the way these things play out, Jim Duffy, will either see out his contract, or something might happen in January to push it through quicker. But he's not going to be a Motherwell player for much longer, and he will become a Dundee United player. That is the bottom line. Can you understand why Johnny might suggest that it feels like a slap in the face?
Yeah, I can, you know, and but obviously, you know, Motherwell, as you know, Johnny will know, that they've got a certain budget they've got to work with, very, very tight. You know, I think Graham Alexander knows that. I think he would have known that when he went in. But I think the disappointing thing is that Tony Watt seemed to have found a home at Motherwell. He seemed to have enjoyed his football for the first time in a number of years. He was scoring goals. We'll talk about him getting back in amongst the Scotland squad. You know, and I think that, again, a lot of that's to do with his teammates and the style of football that they play under Graham Alexander. So I think a lot of those things, you know, I think Motherwell deserve a lot of credit for and taking a chance on a guy who, you know, was a bit of a risk player, because, you know, he hadn't really settled anywhere, even though he's only in his mid-20s or whatever. So, yeah, and I think that, no disrespect to Dundee United, but it's not Dundee United of the 80s. You know, this is a Dundee United side who, you know, you wouldn't say there were any great level difference between them and Motherwell. If anything, Motherwell was the stronger side at this moment in time. If you manage to sell them and get some money in for them, then fine. That's the best case scenario. But I think Dundee United, by their own admission, not that long ago, were recording you know, figures of quite a significant amount of debt. So I don't, one, I don't know how they can maybe pay the money in terms of salary, but also in terms of a fee, if that has to be the case. So it's it's a very disappointing situation for the Motherwell fans, and a very difficult one, because if United don't come up with a fee and he doesn't move there, I don't think he'll be quite as popular amongst the Well Boys as he was up until this week, that's for sure.
I suspect not.
To address Johnny's core point, which is that Tony Watt has delivered a slap in the face, I have to disagree, and I'll preface what I'm about to say by repeating what I've said on this programme recently about Tony Watt. I think he's making a mistake going away from Fir Park. Having said that, it's not a slap in the face, I don't think, because when he came to Motherwell and Motherwell gave him a chance to galvanise his career again, re-energise his career, he repaid Motherwell by scoring goals. Now, the clue for me is in the description. Freedom of contract. When the time comes, Tony Watt is free to do what he has done today, and that is to sign a pre-contract agreement with another club. He's only exercising his right and the right of every other player to freedom of contract.
Is it about the club though, Johnny? If Tony Watt tonight announced a pre-contract with Cardiff City, and that's one of his former clubs, I think, if he'd to announce that, you would be feeling different about it, I'm sure.
Oh, totally much so. Like, going back to Louis Moll, Keith Prey, like, these guys, obviously it's not really worked out for Louis Moll through injuries, but if you look at Keith Prey, for instance, he's looked at the bigger picture and he's thought, right, I'm going to try and, I've gave Motherwell my all, and he's went down there with the notion of building his career forward. I could understand more if Tony Watt turned around and says, you know what, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give Motherwell another 6-7 months. I'm going to try, as you said, break into the Scotland squad. Anyone could say a League One or a Championship side would go in there and get him for at least a good amount of money. There has been people talking about the David Turnbull situation where he went to Celtic. That's not the same thing, because that was a dream move for David Turnbull, and obviously we benefited at that financially as well. But I just feel at the stage that Tony Watt was at when he came to the club, Stephen Robson must have sat down and said, listen, this is your chance to prove everybody wrong, because everyone knows that his attitude was wrong, and like Jim said, they couldn't settle anywhere. I just feel like you said, it's a mistake for him to go to Dundee United, because they're not the club of the 80s, they're not the club of days gone past. I wouldn't say they're a smaller club than us, they're not, but I just feel like they're probably one of your rivals at the moment.
They are a club though, Johnny, whether they're not the club of the 80s, they are a club that are probably, more than probably, paying Tony Watt double what he was earning at Motherwell, just as a man who presumably has a job. It's pretty tough to ignore that side of it, is it not?
Yeah, as I just, it's, I'll not be the only Motherwell fan who feels quite aggrieved by this, but it's just
that is it. You can hear it in Johnny's voice. The football disappointment does make sense, and then you go, yeah, well, look, if somebody comes along and offers me double my wage or even more than double, it's going to need to be. You're going to really, really, really need to love where you are and really not fancy the alternative to knock that back.
The chances are that Graeme Alexander might sign players or a player under freedom of contract in this January window. And you can't have degrees of freedom. It's not all right for Cedric Kipre to go under freedom of contract because he goes to a club that will not play against you.
No, but it does make it easier for fans to sort of come to terms with. That's why football's wonderful. That's why it's different from every other industry. There's emotion attached. It's why we love it, we hate it. It makes us happy, sad, everything in between.
Yeah, but there are other factors to be taken into account here. Johnny is right to use the word aggrieved. Every one of the Motherwell fans who feels aggrieved is entitled to that emotion. But at the same time, freedom of contract enables Tony Watt to be free to go elsewhere if he wants.
But I don't think anyone's saying he shouldn't be allowed. It still doesn't take that reaction away. Johnny, how would you like to see this play out? Can he keep playing for Motherwell for the remainder of the season?
I think he will, to be honest. I think you're going to have that section in the John Hunter stand that's going to turn on him. It happened with Declan Gallagher just before he went to Aberdeen as well. I just hope that he keeps that level of consistency, how he was playing, even a wee bit more now that he now knows that teams are going to be looking at him. But I mean, all the best to him. He's done a ton for us. He's took us. It's a funny one because every striker we get is always going to be in the shadow of Louis Moll and that one season that Michael Higden had, that wonder season. But he has, without him, I think we'd be struggling this season without him, to be honest.
Well, it's going to be an interesting end to the season on that front. Watch this space. Thank you to Johnny, which takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Talk about a chance to make or break your Christmas. The final Beat the Pundit before the big day. I can't promise that we'll get the sign ball out to you in time. In fact, I can promise that we won't. It will absolutely not happen. But you would carry the bragging rights into tomorrow. What a present that would be. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, call quickly.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones, and it's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We've been hearing from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who says they respect the decision to bring forward the winter break. He's relaxed about the prospect of losing players to international call-ups. Ange Postecoglou not looking at the league table when judging the progress of his side. And above all that, we've had you lot telling us your Christmas wish list for your team. We've already had an angry Motherwell fan as well about that news that Tony Watt's heading to Dundee United on a pre-contract. So if you want to elaborate on any of them, now's a good time to call. And if you want to change the subject, equally a good time to call. 0141 951 1025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The last Beat the Pundit before Christmas, eh? Let's see what we've got in store. Did you win on Monday? Remind me.
I did, yes.
You won?
3 in a row.
Oh, for goodness sake. Somebody's been on too many mince pies. It's gone to their head, whoever it was that took part. Let's see what Matt and Renfrew can come up with. Hi, Matt.
Hi, panel. How are we doing? All right?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. Just a few drinks tonight, looking forward to Christmas.
Are you organised, or are you done? Are you sorted?
Oh, you know, this is always a couple of things to do, but petrol station nearby, so I'm sure I can.
You know how it is, a couple of things to do at 7:05 on Christmas Eve, Hugh Keevans.
I went down to see my two youngest grandchildren this morning. The 6-year-old, Reuben, is like a coiled spring. He's just waiting to rip every piece of gift wrap off everything. We'll never get him to bed tonight.
Are you a petrol station on Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock at night, man, Jim Duffy? You don't strike me as the type.
Absolutely not.
You organised?
No, well organised. Yeah, you've got to be organised. I think maybe back in the day I might have been rushing about at the last minute, but no. All organised, all done. Sent a letter to Santa. Santa's delivered all the presents, so they're all sitting there waiting.
Big plans tomorrow, Matt?
Not really, just family. Some of the family. And a few drinks.
You're not cooking, are you? Because you've mentioned a few drinks tonight and a few tomorrow, so tell me you're not in charge of the turkey.
Absolutely not.
Good.
That's not my remit.
Good, me neither. I stay well away from that sort of stuff. Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit tonight. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans against Matt. And if it's tails, it will be Jim Duffy. So let's see what we've got. And it is tails, it's Jim Duffy. So let's give him something else to listen to, Matt. We obviously don't want him to be listening in to your attempt, so we'll get rid of Jim Duffy. Well, figuratively speaking, of course. It's the wrong week to be making those jokes, Hugh Keevans. That was poor of me. Hopefully he can't hear Murray O'Come.
I've got my coffee during the news break there, so he's relaxed.
Good, right, that's fine. Matt, 30 seconds. Answer as many questions right as you can, and if you don't know, just pass quickly and we will move on to the next one. Is that all right?
Yep, that's fine with me.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Can Jim Duffy still hear me? No, he can't. Good, right, that's fine. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many teams has Giovanni van Bronckhorst managed?
3.
Which Celtic goalkeeper played more games last year, Bain or Barkas?
Barkas.
Which Scottish Premiership club did David Grace start his career at?
Hibs.
Name either player who scored the last time Celtic met St Johnson.
Kyogo.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Maloney or McFadden?
McFadden.
Who's won the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month twice this season?
Postecoglou.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back and see if he can. Here is Jim Duffy. Have you got me now?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many teams has Giovanni van Bronckhorst managed?
3.
Which Celtic goalkeeper played more games last year, Bain or Barkas?
Bain.
Which Scottish Premiership club did David Grace start his career at?
Ross County.
Name either player who scored the last time Celtic met St Johnston.
David Turnbull.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Maloney or McFadden?
McFadden.
Who's won the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month award twice this season?
Jack Ross.
Okay. How do you think that went, Matt?
I don't know. Not a lot of questions that go with the team I support. So
I don't think it was a very high scoring contest from my point of view. Well, that's for
sure. Let's find out, shall we? Right, so first one, how many teams has Giovanni van Bronckhorst managed? 3. Feyenoord, he was obviously the spell in China, and Rangers, so 3. Which Celtic goalkeeper played more games last year, Bain or Barkas? It's Bain by 1. So Jim Duffy goes in front on that one. I think this one was harsh. I think the producers have stitched you up here. I mean, David Gray, what club did he start his career at? I mean, he was at Hearts, but only really as a youth player. I don't think he ever played. So I think that was harsh. But anyway, none of you got it right. Anyway, name either player who scored the last time Celtic met St Johnston. You had the choice of Giakoumakis and Juranovic. So none of you got that. So it's 2-1 to Jim. Who's got more Scotland caps, Maloney or McFadden? You always know it's going to be close when we do that question. Maloney 47, McFadden 49. So you both got it, and Jim stays one in front, which means it all comes down to this last question. Who's won the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month twice this season? You need this to equalise, Matt. You went for Ange Postecoglou. Jim Duffy went for Jack Ross. Hugh Keevans?
I think it's Graham Alexander.
It is Graham Alexander. Matt, it's going to be a sad trip to the petrol station, I'm afraid. No sign ball.
Sorry,
3-2
Matt.
Defeat. But have a good Christmas anyway.
Thank you very much. I was just going to say, if I'd lost to Hugh Keevans, I probably wouldn't hear the end of it anyway. So I'm not too fussed at losing to Jim Duffy.
There we go. Thank you, Matt. And Renfrew, have a good day. That was Matt. 01419511025.
I hope the petrol station's shut.
Gordon, sorry, just to interrupt, it's good as I heard Matt there. Can I just say a thank you to Matthew, because that just triggered it in my head there, who was one of the vaccinators at Hampden yesterday when I went along for the booster. So him and the NHS and all the volunteers.
So you went to the
there.
National Stadium for
I did.
It in a bit of style.
Yes. So and it was very well organised and very smooth and swift and in and out. But Matthew and all the staff there, I just want to say a big thank
Working
you for,
hard,
for their time and patience
yeah.
and getting everybody vaccinated.
Don't mind that at all. The Nationals, I've seen a lot of people queuing up there at the National Stadium, I must admit. You wouldn't have gone there, did you? Where did you go from, more local surroundings?
It was up Clyde Bank, top of Bow Road.
There we go. 0141.
The hub, that's what it's called, the hub.
You don't have to phone in and tell us where you got your vaccination. That's not necessarily a topic of conversation for tonight. These things just come up. 01419511025. What's on your Christmas wish list? What have you made of what you've heard from van Bronckhorst, from Postecoglou? What about this Tony Watt scenario? We had a Motherwell fan on calling it a slap in the face just a moment or two ago.
You obviously a Motherwell fan. Have they been negotiating with Tony Watt for months to try and get him to sign? I mean, I'm guessing in the background, but has it been publicly, you know, a kind of debate? Because obviously, from Tony's point of view, if they feel that the club haven't been, you know, overly keen, then that sometimes can encourage players as well to say, well, look, you had 4 or 5 months to negotiate. Now you're waiting until I've scored all the goals before you come back to me. So maybe from his point of view, he maybe felt Motherwell didn't really do enough to try and keep him.
I would just refer you to his words, I think, rather than mine. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago after he scored against Dundee United. We asked him, he said there wasn't any discussions yet, but then very quickly it seemed to take off after that, where there was an offer on the table. He obviously didn't fancy it, and he did fancy Dundee United's offer. So there we go. Pick up the phone, let us know what you think on any of tonight's topics, or something else that you've come up with amidst all the frustration, Hugh, because actually I feel like we've lost sight of this. Everyone was frustrated first this week when we got the restrictions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then it became about whether the response to them was right. But we're still all in the same boat, where even though these games go ahead on Boxing Day, 500 fans, I'm going to try and at least focus on what should be some good games. I know it's not the same, it's nowhere near the same, but when you look at that fixture card, hopefully we get some good football.
Well, you know, Aberdeen versus Dundee, kick off there. Dundee really not doing well at all. All manner of problems at the club. Aberdeen smarting from Sean Maloney's debut win as Hibs manager. So that's a big one for them. Rangers St Mirren we've spoken about, as also Celtic at Perth. Hearts versus Ross County. You know, you've got Marky Mackay now starting to move.
Looking
ever so
all right,
slightly,
aren't they? Yeah,
ever so
good.
Slightly, just crawling up that league table. So if I were Robbie Nielsen, I wouldn't be looking at that as a gimme. And we now have to re-establish, what does 500 people inside your ground do for your team? We always had that argument the last time, at the time of lockdown, that some teams could play in front of small crowds and others found it intimidated them. They weren't the same team. Now we'll have to revisit all of those arguments at the weekend. I must say, when the number was announced, I did feel initially that kind of sense of hopelessness. Who thought up 500? And what medical reason can you give me for saying 500? And why is 500 inside Albion Rovers not allowed to be different when it's Celtic Park or Ibrox, where they can hold tens of thousands?
Well, funnily enough, I'm going to stop you there, because I think that's what the next caller wants to bring up. So just a reminder, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Clyde SSB, or pick up the phone 0141 951 1025. So Alan is up next. He is a Rangers fan from Falkirk. I think we just about managed to stop Hugh before he stole your thunder, Alan.
Good evening, panel.
Hello.
Hope you have a nice day tomorrow. Just as Hugh was starting to go on there, do you think it's about time the SFA, more importantly, were a bit more vocal towards the Scottish Government? As you said, or Hugh was about to say, where did they pick 500 fans from? And I think we can all agree that football is the national sport in Scotland that brings in more to the economy than rugby union, who got more money at the COVID than football. Going with travel, football buses, hotels, restaurants, ferries coming over from Northern Ireland. I think it's pretty obvious that the Scottish Government have no time for football fans or football, and I think it's getting more apparent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in this time, it's five. You know, if it's a rugby game on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, it's 500 as well. So the restriction, that would be the official answer. That doesn't mean I'm disagreeing with what Alan's saying. That would be the official sort of response to Jim, do you share Hugh's dismay about the 500?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was 1872 Cup boost coming out, I think it was Boxing Day, I think Glasgow Warriors in Edinburgh, and that would have been a huge match, you know, so in essence, you know. So I think that, you know, it has affected other sports as well. I know that, you know, saying about, you know, the finance maybe helping other sports as opposed to football. You know, yeah, I mean, I think football does get a bit of a, you know, a hard time when it comes to the kind of the politics surrounding it, and I do think they could have been more vocal, the SPFA or the SFA, but I don't think it would have made any difference. I mean, you can rattle your sabres all day long, but the bottom line is, this is a government decision. It's taken out of football hands. This is not an SPFL decision or a SFA decision. This is a government decision, and, you know, we're bound by the rules of the government. So, like many other businesses who feel they've been hard treated, football is another one, but ultimately, it's a health issue. They're looking at the overall health of the country. And yeah, I agree with you. Well, how do you pick out 500, and, you know, how does it work out? Even if they've done a percentage of your overall stadium, it might have been more sensible or easier to do. But nevertheless, as much as we do it through gritted teeth, it's not done specifically just the football. There's many businesses that have been suffering through this.
To be fair though, Hugh, as a football, we're all football fans, we love it. Whether it does make a difference or not, you like to think that the people that run the game will stand up for you and will go out to bat for you and will try and apply pressure and will lobby and will try and make things happen. That's what Alan's asking for.
Well, I think you can forget it straight away, because the first thing Neil Doncaster said yesterday was, "I'm not going to politicise this situation." Well, I'm sorry, it's already been politicised.
I wonder though, because I heard that as well, but then his follow up line was, and my goodness, there are certain routes we don't need to take Clyde One Super Scoreboard down, right? But his following line was that sport's a devolved matter, and I wondered if that was him putting a little bit of pressure on the Scottish Government.
Well, Rangers have done so with their statement, which doesn't name Nicola Sturgeon. It just says the First Minister, without mentioning her name. I am not oblivious to what's going on around about me. I looked at the news bulletins this afternoon, and throughout England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales, the transmission figures are horrific. So I am not oblivious to the rise of the Omicron variant or whatever. At the same time, I do think that the Scottish Government shows a disinclination towards helping football. I'm not saying that the First Minister hates football. I just don't think that she cares about it at all. And she doesn't, I don't think, get it in terms of the national psyche. I'm not saying we should go headlong, ignore all the science and the medical advice and just put everyone into the stadium. But let's have this circuit breaker, as they call it, and let's have an honest appraisal of where we are at the end of that. And to amplify what Alan on the line has been saying, football is very important to people whose lives have been severely restricted in other ways, and football is their comfort.
And I'm not saying he heads up Scottish football or anything, but it was interesting, Alan. Dave Cormack of Aberdeen, he went on Twitter. He tweeted directly to the First Minister and asked for the restrictions to be brought in as of midnight on Boxing Day, which would allow full houses. And that clearly fell on deaf ears. So, I mean, I think they are trying. Is it a case of not trying hard enough for you? Would it make any difference anyway?
Definitely, I don't think they're trying hard enough. As I say, it's a national sport, and without repeating myself, what it brings into the economy, you've got ferries coming over every week, whether Rangers are at home or Celtic for Northern Ireland, so you've got hotels, you've got pubs, restaurants, buses. How many buses go to Rugby Union? And I'm not being disrespectful. You've got, I don't know, six Scottish rugby union games at Murrayfield a year. I know you have club games. They're not bringing in the same money as football. No way. No way.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what though? I think your points can still be valid without having to sort of pit football against rugby. I get why people do that. I've probably made similar points myself in the past, but that's, I think that, you know, the argument still stands. It would be nice to know. It would be nice to be a fly in the wall, Hugh, because we ultimately will never know what Neil Doncaster or Ian Maxwell or whoever it is, will never really know behind closed doors what they say to the Scottish Government, whether people would like a more public show of that, standing up for the game. For all we know, they are, you know, they're trying behind closed doors. I'm not sure.
As I say, first and foremost, I do appreciate that the job of the government is to protect health and safety, the lives of the people who live in this country. I fully understand and appreciate that. I just get the impression that random decisions are taken where football is concerned. I go back to it, 500. Who said that?
Well, Jason Leach admitted as much, didn't he, that it was about drawing a line somewhere rather than basing that on any particular science.
You've drawn the line in an arbitrary fashion as well.
Thank you, Alan. 01419511025. Alan kept banging on about buses and how many buses and stuff come over, which leads me nicely onto the fact that Jim Goodwin might ask his bus driver to park this team coach across the Goalmouth at St Ibrox on Sunday. That's his tactic for the weekend. St Mirren fans, it would be nice to hear from you. Can your group of COVID hit players go to Ibrox and do it again. You did it against Celtic the other night. Can it be another one of those defensive jobs where you manage to shut the opposition out? Rangers fans, I'm sure you'll have thoughts on that as well. Now would be a great time to share them.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas.
For the past few weeks, we've been asking you for your donations to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas Appeal. I've said it every night, sometimes more than one a night, and I can't stress it enough. And we're just trying to make a difference to as many families as we could who are living in poverty on our doorstep. Just trying to make Christmas Day a little bit different. And thanks to you, thanks to your efforts in the last 6 weeks. Listen to this, Hugh Keevans. I'll only say it once for dramatic effect. I won't bother going for the emphasis. But in the last 6 weeks, we have raised a massive £1,055,461, which is going to help over 27,000 children.
This station's finest hour, bar none. Well done to those who contributed, because it's a cliche, but without you, it can't be done.
Absolutely. Phenomenal result. We can't thank you enough. Whether you made a donation or did some festive fundraising, thank you so much. It has been a tough couple of years for so many, but this Christmas you should be really proud of the difference you've made to so many families. So from us at Clyde One Super Scoreboard, from Cash for Kids, and most importantly from the families who have received the support, a huge thank you. That was Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce Structural Steelwork Fabrication and Construction.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and there is still time to get your calls in before the big day. I have a full time teaser for you. And you know, it's one of those, like, it's got an end of the year feel. I'm going to kind of test your memory of the year that's just about to finish.
Adam Moffat.
Let's not go. You have honest. I now can't hear his name without thinking it is Adam and not Owen. It's one of them I will never get right.
Sorry, Owen.
Please don't. So, question very simple. 10 players scored 10 goals or more in the Scottish top flight last season. Can you name them? It wasn't that long ago. 10 players scored 10 or more goals in the Scottish top flight last season. Who were they? I'll take one from each of you to kick us off.
James Forrest.
No, he was injured last season.
Alfredo Morelos.
Yes, he got 12. Hugh?
Martin Boyle.
Yeah, he got 12 as well. Well done. Subject of a bid from Saudi Arabia, did I read earlier on? £500,000. Yeah. Not surprised that someone wants to secure his services, Jim.
Yeah, again, but you know, I think that, yeah, I mean, listen, £500,000 sounds a lot of money in Scottish football, but in the market, the current market, I mean, I just think it's an embarrassing offer, actually. I mean, you want to get to, you know, six zeros, then start talking. That's for me, anyway, you know what I mean? Again, he's got the ability to light up the game at any level, I think.
Strikes you as being one that was opened up by the fact he plays for Australia, Hugh. Yeah. I could be wrong. I just don't recall too many bids from Saudi Arabia for players in the Scottish top flight.
I mean, we're talking about Tony Watt and wages earlier on. I mean, I have no doubt that if you go to Saudi, then you'll get a very hefty wage. But Jim's right. I mean, this guy is an international. He is a top player here in this country, one of the top players. 500,000, I don't think so.
And one of his teammates, just whilst we're on the theme, Ryan Porteous, Jim Duffy.
Yeah,
a clash, will we call it that, with Christian Ramirez the other night? Has he got a case to answer?
Yeah, it's not a surprise, is it, when it comes to Big Ryan? He seems to be one of those guys that I think that if anybody does, he may have a lot to do with himself. We've said this before when there's been talk about bigger clubs looking at him, saying he's got to really cut a lot of this kind of stuff out. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think when you leave a leg on someone, should we say, or leave a foot on someone, then it's up to the referees that will look at it to decide whether it's deliberate or not. And if it is deliberate, then he's going to be punished for it. And I think, as I said, it's not the first time that you know, he's had a bit of rashness, should we say, involved him. And that's something he's really got to learn. I know he's come out publicly and said, I'm not going to change, and that's the way I am. But if you don't change in modern football, you'll be spending an awful lot more time in the stand.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people at Hibs here are quick to point out his disciplinary record isn't that bad, which is true. But so if we stick to this incident, because we could probably do it all night long where people will recall others.
Yeah.
He has been charged by the Scottish FA, rightly so for you.
Yeah, I watched the challenge again today. Ridiculous. Until he cuts that out of his game, this story will repeat itself. It will be sent off or sent off retrospectively. He's got talent, but he's abusing that talent.
For someone who, Jim, and you won't take any offence, would say that, you know, in your day, the old school, if you like, would you have? Are you a fan of Christian Ramirez posting the challenge on Twitter in video form?
No, not because I think when you do that, you leave yourself open, because obviously there could be well be Aberdeen players who may well have a similar sort of thing further down the line. So therefore, you're leaving yourself. You know, it was like Jurgen Klopp was really quite vociferous in his comments on Harry Kane, on Andy Robson, and I think it was a very poor challenge. And it was a red card. But then the other night, there's a young player, I can't remember his name, had a horrendous challenge, you know, on the boy. So, you know, but you're not going to go and slaughter your own player or say, oh, that was a terrible challenge. So I just think focus on your own team, you know, and your own players, and let the powers that be deal with it. But listen, that's modern football. Players will do that. You know, listen, they'll post what they had for breakfast, never mind a bad tackle.
Imagine some of Jim Duffy's tackles put on social media for all to see.
Classy player, Duff.
Let's bring in Andy, who's a Rangers fan. Andy, Boxing Day, St Mirren at Ibrox with 500 fans. Does that change things? Does it make any difference as far as you're concerned?
Hi guys, just before I start, Merry Christmas to
you.
Yeah,
same to you, Andy. Thank you.
No, I don't think it will make a big difference. You know what I mean? Because we've done it before, so I think everybody's the same. I don't know why it's only 500. I just want, because I was saying to the producer, I'm just thinking, no, Aribo, Bassey, Balogun, they're going away, right? So, they're meant to go, but they're allowed to go, things get worse. And how many fans are they going to be playing in other countries? Because I was just reading it, Japan might even be going, no, we don't want anybody from Scotland or Britain to come.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, throughout the latter stages of this, that you obviously get levels of exemption for elite athletes and so on, and people who are going to compete, they don't often have to go by the same rules as holidaymakers. But it is one to watch. We would all be lying if we knew for sure. I'm not sure we need to speculate. But as we stand tonight on Christmas Eve, I think it's certainly valid to say there remains a bit of doubt about the African Cup of Nations and who goes and whether that tournament. I know they say it's going ahead and all that sort of stuff, but you can understand the questions.
Absolutely. As we always have to say, I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist, but Ange Postecoglou said today there would be no trip to the sunshine for the Celtic players during the winter break.
Did they go on one last year? Did we hear about it once or twice on this show?
You've provoked my memory there, but I'll get back to you on that one. But Ange Postecoglou said no sunshine break because it just doesn't feel right under the circumstances. Therefore, Ange Postecoglou and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst would have to have certain reservations about watching a handful of players go either to the African Cup of Nations or to play for Japan or Australia. You would have to have those reservations. Look at the amount of time spent on aeroplanes for a start, and going into an environment that you don't know much about in terms of the rise of COVID.
I mean, to be fair, it's never gone away, and our own national team had their own issues as well. And yeah, I thought everyone hoped we were going to see the back of it. On the game at the weekend, Jim, Andy says, you know, 500 didn't cause Rangers any problems at all, far from it. Last season, listening to Jim Goodwin today, he was sort of talking about how actually you might say, yeah, it gives you a better chance, you don't face that raucous crowd, but sometimes the best thing you can do is silence that crowd if you start well. So you can probably spin it either way.
Yeah, possibly. I just think Rangers are in a slightly better place than they might have been a few weeks ago. You know, when it comes to that, I don't think the fans would have been you know, quite as uptight if Rangers hadn't scored early on. I think they, as I said, they've got complete trust in Gianni Van Bronckhorst and the way he tactics. So I think it will be an advantage for Jim. I think that, you know, if they can manage to, you know, keep it tight, you know, for the first period of the game, then Rangers won't have that vociferous crowd try to urge them on, and the game could go a bit flat. So, yeah, I mean, listen, if you asked any St Mirren player, would you rather go out there to a full Ibrox or an empty Ibrox? I think you would take the empty Ibrox in terms of how you would want, you know, how would improve your chances. In terms of, listen, as a footballer, you want to play in full houses, of course you do. But just in terms of your chances, I think your chances are increased with an empty Ibrox.
Jim Goodwin says he could have some players available, extra players, if you like, back from the other night. He says isolation periods are coming to an end for two or three, and Jack Anik will start after returning a negative PCR.
We've got two or three lads that are coming out of isolation today and tomorrow. So the good thing about the new rules are that they have been able to do part of their return to play at home. We just need to wait and see how they all react over the weekend, and then we'll have to make a decision on them on Sunday morning. So it's going to be last minute before we decide on what the team selection is going to be.
Jack Almick, he's okay?
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, Jack is fine. We got a couple of tests back, you know, just not long before the game on Wednesday night. And unfortunately, Jack's one wasn't back in time. But yeah, I mean, look, you can see the quality in the replacement that I had in Dean Linus and how well Dean done. So, you know, Dean no doubt would have thoroughly enjoyed the game. But obviously, you know, Jack has came out of the team through no fault of his own. And that's a conversation that I will have with Dean in the coming hours.
Ah, the life of a backup goalie, Hugh. Yeah. Dean Linus comes in, could not have done any better, keeps a clean sheet against Celtic, but Jack Anik's the number one, and he goes.
Jim Goodwin says, that's a conversation I'll have with Dean in the coming hours. Dean, you're dropped. You're on the bench. Trust me. But he was sensational against Celtic on Wednesday, and Jack Anik is a fine goalkeeper, so Jim wins out either way. Can they do it again? A betting man would say to you, no, don't think so, because Celtic did have the lion's share of that game, and it was their own failure to convert numerous chances that cost them in the end. But it was a very brave performance from St Mirren, who went into the match not having won any of their previous nine games. It was a terrific night for Jim Goodwin. He just gritted his teeth and got on with it.
He says they're ready to park the bus at Ibrox. He says they'd love to go there and give it a go, but it's just not possible.
You know, we would all love to be able to go and be aggressive and press the life out of Celtic and Rangers when you play them and go and try and be open and expansive. But at the best times, that's not possible. When you've had the best preparation, sometimes that's not possible because of the quality of the opposition that you're playing against. But our lads, fitness-wise, just aren't going to be as sharp or as energetic as what we would like. So, yeah, without giving any secrets away, if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is listening, then, yeah, we'll be hoping for a carbon copy of Wednesday night, to be honest with you. And I'll be seeing if our bus driver might be able to park up on the 18-yard line along with the rest of the boys.
Andy, are you the type of Rangers fan who accepts that teams will come and park the bus and you just got to find a way? Because we get lots of calls from Celtic and Rangers fans almost annoyed that teams do that. You know, how do you feel about it?
No, we know. Listen, we know they're going to do that. I mean, they got a great result against Celtic, but we know they're going. It's just up to us to break them down. We've got the squad. You know what I mean? To break them down, especially Ibrox. I know there's only going to be 500 fans there, but no, we face that quite a lot. So no, I'm quite confident. Especially Ibrox, we'll take three or four up on a really day. I think we can do that.
Jim, how big an ask is it for St Mirren to do it again?
Yeah.
Energy levels wise, to do it at Ibrox on the bigger pitch and the better surface, and against the Rangers team that are confident.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very difficult for St Mirren, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, I know Jim is saying that there's maybe a couple of players coming back, but you don't know how they've been affected. You know, whether the, you know, if they have had COVID, the symptoms, as we know. I mean, even in the time I was at United, we had two or three players that had it and came back and, you know, really struggled for a good number of weeks after it. You know, with breathing and fitness, and just felt as if they had no energy, felt lightheaded at times. So not everyone comes back at the same level. It's not just a case of, well, you've done your isolation, that's you, you're back in and you're ready to go. And also, as you mentioned, you know, the exertions of midweek, you know, not having too much time to prepare. And listen, the most important thing is that Rangers have got far, far more quality, and they play real expansive football at Ibrox. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a very, very difficult game, and Jim's a realist. He said in there he'd like to go and be a little bit more expansive, but ultimately his job is to get his team organised, be difficult to beat, and it's up to Rangers, Andy says, to break them down. But, you know, they're used to teams going to Ibrox and doing that, so you would fully expect Rangers to get the victory.
Thanks, Andy. Enjoy your day tomorrow. Before we get you two to go on and enjoy your day, you have to come up with the answers to tonight's full-time teaser. Can you name the 10 players who got 10 or more top-flight goals in Scotland last season? So we're just testing your memory. You've got Morelos and Boyle.
Odson Edward.
Yeah, he was top with 18.
Liam Boyce?
No.
I'll go for the obvious one. James Tavernier.
Yes, 12 for him as well.
I just remember him. And the other one would be Kevin Nisbet. Did I say that?
Yeah, you didn't, but you should, because he got 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 so far.
David Ryan Kent.
Yes, Ryan Kent got the 10. He just got on.
David Turnbull.
No, 9 for him last season.
Callum McGregor.
No, so you've got 4 to get. We'll get them next. Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. You can still phone in, you can still tweet us before we go, and these two have to come up with the answer to the full time teaser. Now, you could always submit a question if you've got a bit of time in your hands. Maybe you get a nice football trivia book. Do people still get them? I'm not sure. But anyway, fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's the address you need if you want to hear your question on the show. This one's been sent in by Stephen in Hamilton, and we really do appreciate it. Can you name the 10 players who got 10 or more Scottish top flight goals last season? So you're doing okay. You've got Morelos and Boyle and Edward and Tavernier and Nisbet and Kent.
Stevie May?
No.
Kemar Roofe?
Yes, he got 14. Okay, so where are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 3 to get. Take one more guess at the moment.
Lee Griffiths?
Nope.
I'm just going to say, I know his surname, McGrath.
Jamie
McGrath.
That could be the answer of the night so far. Well done. He got 10 as well, Jamie McGrath. Right, two more to get. We'll hopefully get them before the end of the season. Before the end of the night.
I got a player's first name correct there.
Yeah, well, there is a first for everything. I must admit, I'm seeing quite a lot of, I was going to say funny, but I guess it's not funny to those involved. It's funny on the outside. So, for instance, John the Bomb has sent me a tweet, and he says it's a picture of his Wayne, as he says. This was the Wayne greeting, getting a Christmas message from Tony Watt. Now who fancies telling her he's going? I'm sorry, John. And without giving too much away due to the sensitive nature of the time of year, I'm hearing a story of Ryan, who's bought a Motherwell shirt for someone he knows, and you know what's in the back of it, don't you? So that's what football does to you.
Well, maybe they'll say another player called what?
Honestly. Heartbreak. Heartbreak in Lanarkshire, Hugh.
Well,
it's like when Steven Gerrard left, didn't it? It was a millisecond before they started tearing down all the banners outside, didn't you, with Steven Gerrard's face on it, and all the stuff that they'd had lined up for Christmas, I'm afraid, had to be binned.
Yeah, it doesn't stand still for long. Before we bring in Simon, who is a Kilmarnock fan, I'll keep the Ayrshire segment together, Jim. You even made a wee joke of it to open up the show. Last time we spoke to you, you were the Ayr United manager. You are now no longer. What's your sort of feelings on that now, and looking back and how it unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously disappointed, very disappointed, Gordon. But you know, you can't, especially in football, you know, that's the reason why you try and make light of it. It's not a situation where I was happy about. But football is about results. We didn't get enough positive wins, over the last few weeks, and not, you know, you have to be understanding about that. But me personally, as I said, there was a few things that I think had reasons for that. But the most disappointing thing for me is if you got to January and you bring your own players in. This is no disrespect to any other players, but you know the type of guys that you want to work with, that perhaps that you think could make a difference. So I'd never had that opportunity to do that. So that's the most frustrating thing. But ultimately, listen, you know, you have to respect it. It's like me picking a player or leaving a player out. It's a decision, and the owners and the chairman have to make a decision they think is in the best interest of the club. So although I wasn't happy with it, you have to accept it and move on, and that's what I'll do.
I mean, a new chief exec's just gone in there, and Graham Matthey, is that one where you get the feeling that the new guy wants his own direction? Was that something
possibly, you don't know. I mean, I didn't really have a big in-depth, I think, listen, when you're told that the service are no longer required, you don't have a big in-depth conversation. You really just pretty much go on with things, you know, get your gear, pack your bags and move out, and if you're Matt Wilson, you send your stuff down to the charity shop and then, you know, hope that no one recognises initials.
Well, Ayrshire is the place to be if you need a new manager, Simon, who's a Kilmarnock fan. Is that on your Christmas list by any chance?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I hope you all have a really nice Christmas, guys. And sorry to hear that. All rivalry aside, Jim, you know, it's not good to hear somebody lose their job. And I thought you were doing actually an okay job and probably would have turned things around. So I'm sure you'll be back in football in no time.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Simon.
So definitely I'm a new manager on our wish list. Preferably one who has a bit more of an attacking intent, or somebody who wants to play a bit more, you know, football on the deck. If I'm being greedy, I'd like a midfielder who can pass the ball as well. You'll know Gordon, being a Motherwell fan. I'm trying to think of a polite word to describe Liam Polworth, but I'd say maybe patchy is the best word to describe him. Yeah, so somebody who's a bit more consistent in the midfield would be great in my Christmas wish list as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you got managerial wise, Simon, I think, you know, I think you came on the show the night that Tommy Wright left and said, you know, well, Jack Ross, he's become available, it's obvious, and you get it done. Has the situation changed for you or unfolded in a way that's caused you to think a bit further?
Yeah, it seems that Jack Ross isn't interested, which is a shame. To be honest, I was looking at it, Kilmarnock are still quite a big club. You look at the other clubs in Scotland, he's not going to get the Hearts job, obviously. Aberdeen looks like it's pretty solid at the moment. You look, is there many other bigger clubs? If he brings Kilmarnock up to the Premier League, you know, he's probably going to be, we're going to be one of the top 6, 7, 8 clubs in the country. Motherwell, obviously, yourselves have got a solid managerial job. So, you know, I thought it would be an option. It doesn't seem like it's going to be. Obviously, you never know, but looking at the other options, I'm not sure where you would go with that. Neil McFarlane is somebody who I'm interested in, under 23 manager at Brentford. Obviously, came through at Kelly's youth system, you know, played for Hearts, Queen of the South, among other teams in Scotland. He seems to have a good record down south. Stephen Naismith as well has been talked about. They're a big risk, but, you know, he's highly thought of by a lot of people. Steve Clark's brought him into the Scotland setup, so, you know, maybe that's something he's supposedly, according to the newspapers, would be interested if Kelly made an approach. So that's something, you know, you're going down a different route there of a sort of coach rather than a manager. But yeah, be interesting to see in the coming weeks.
The experienced campaigners like Jim Duffy, I'm sure, would have something to say. Hugh, is that the direction that we're seeing a bit more and more? I'm just looking even at the last week. Sean Maloney's gone into Hibs. Oh. You know, first managerial job. The Morton job, Dougie Emery got it, first managerial job.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way, far from it, but it just feels like there is a real willingness at the moment, whether it was a Stephen Naismith or something similar. Can you see that happening?
Yeah, I think there's a mood in the air to try things. You know, when Tam Courts was appointed at Dundee United, the fans were unhappy. Who is he? Where's he from? What is he going to do for us? But Tam Courts has done a first class job so far. Sean Maloney, that's not a problem. He's been working with the best for years. But I think there is a mood in the air to go after a Neil McFarlane. You know, think outside the box, and just don't go down the, well, he's available, that kind of route. So I think Neil McFarlane would be an interesting appointment. I just wonder, some guys might think Kilmarnock, because they're in the Championship, it's a retrograde step. Also, because Kilmarnock flipped between the playoff places and just beneath that, you know, people might be thinking, well, I'm not too sure if they're going to get into the playoffs. But if you believe in yourself, you would have the mindset that, yeah, I will take them into the playoff.
It's got to remain as attractive, Jim, does it not? Because I get that this brings its own pressure and its own expectation, but they'll have the biggest budget in the league, or certainly up there. I think it will be the biggest, won't it? Because there was a lot made of keeping it the same from when they went down. So it's not often you get the chance to walk into that type of environment.
Yeah, and as Simon said there, you know, that you've got an opportunity to bring in probably two or three minimum players in January. So yeah, I think Stephen Naismith would probably be the obvious one for me. But you know, again, there's no formula for whether it's a first-time manager or experienced manager. If you look at the other four teams in the top half, they're all very experienced managers. Billy Dodds, Dick Campbell, obviously, at top of the league, John McGlynn, Ian McCall. They're all very, very experienced.
Yeah, very true.
So, you know, there's no formula. New guys get in like Doug Emery and, you know, and as you say, Sean Maloney and at Hibs. So, but for me, someone like Stephen Naismith, like, he knows Kilmarnock, he knows the expectations. Listen, there's only one remit you've got at Kilmarnock, and that is to get promotion. Now, ideally, they want to do it, you know, by winning the league, but if not, they have to do it through the playoffs. But, you know, the directors have come out and said that quite plain. Listen, your job is to get promoted. So, if you believe in it and you've got the confidence to do it, then you've got to take that gamble. As I say, for me, it'd be Stephen Naismith, I think, would be the ideal candidate at this moment in time.
Simon, it was nice to speak to you. Have a nice Christmas.
You too, guys.
Good man. That was Simon from Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock fan looking ahead, seeing what manager they may or may not get for Christmas. So I think we'll probably have to leave it there on the phones. I don't want to just squeeze one more in and get rid of you after 10 seconds. So I think we are best certainly leaving it there. I'm trying to think in terms of today's news, today's agenda, if you like. Have we missed anything? I don't think so, Hugh. I think we've covered off.
No, it's all about Sunday now and how people react, how players react to the 500 rule. You know, we had a blistering second half to the cup final last Sunday. We've had tremendous matches of late. All the last gasp ones that Celtic have had. Rangers under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst turning into the juggernaut. Now, when people go away through no fault of their own, how does that affect everything? That's the big question for Sunday.
You know, you're going to have to take it easy tomorrow, though. 6 hour show on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're here.
Listen.
Okay. You've done this before, haven't you?
I've told you, I've only got this 6 year old like a coiled spring. I've only got to look after him and then I'll be back refreshed.
He's the stamina of a Mo Farah, that man.
Honestly, yeah, that's what it does. I think that is for sure. He will be here. He will be fine. Let's try and round off tonight's teaser. We're looking for the 10 players who scored 10 or more goals in the Scottish top flight last season. So that was this year. It wasn't that long ago, but feels like a long time ago. In fact, see when you said there that the cup final was only last weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether it's because it's been quite a mad week in Scottish football. That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
A lot longer than 5 days.
It's always a mad week. But listen, it's a mad week. It's a mad week in football in general.
I know.
But,
I know. Yeah. Right, anyway, let's round off the teaser. You've got Morelos, Boyle, Edouard, Tavernier, Nisbet, Kent, Roof and McGrath. So what's that? Two more to get?
I think I've got one, but I can't get the last one.
Go on.
Mohamed Elneny.
Yes, well done. I wondered if any of you would miss him out. He this had a very good season. We got 10 league goals.
To be honest with you, I was through the top teams and then thinking, yeah. Right, go for Rangers who won the league, who was in that, go for Celtics, who was that, and then Edouard and Elneny was the first two.
He ended up having a decent season in front of goals, scored goal. That's just his league goals, of course.
Yeah,
as well.
He's international as well, didn't he? Score, and then he started off his season quite well at Southampton and unfortunately got injured, I think, didn't he?
One more, hardest by a mile, I would say.
Jordan White.
No,
you need to give us a clue, I think.
Is it a St Johnstone player?
It's one of Tony Watt's ex-teammates.
Tony Watt's ex-teammates? It's not Motherwell.
It is, would you believe?
Played at Motherwell?
Yeah, and got 11 league goals last season.
Is it a striker?
Can remember, Hugh, you used to love it. It was Longy and Langy
and Cole.
And Coley up front. That's what Stephen Robinson Devante always used
Cole.
To say. Devante Cole. Unfortunately
Cole.
For him, one of these guys who just always gets followed on as if it's like some sort of extra name, son of.
Yeah, of course.
Andy. Or it's Andrew now,
Andrew,
is it not?
It's Andrew.
It's Andrew.
Yeah.
That is that.
I've just seen Boom Boom coming towards us.
Yes.
Christmas Eve, Boom Boom.
George Billy is up next with the GBX. You've got 10 seconds, Hugh, to wish the listeners Merry Christmas.
Listen, I hope you all have a terrific Christmas and we'll hear from you again on Sunday.
We will indeed. Enjoy your day. Thanks for all your loyalty, your dedication to the show over this year. We will see you on Sunday anyway. And George is up next.